Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Tet. We're still holding at that Halakha Mishnah on daf Ayin Chet Amud Beit, and we're four lines up from the bottom. Nitkaven laharogat ha-behema v'haragat ha-adam. So we're going on with the continued dinim of what defines the type of a chi of misa that we said would be on a rotseach. What defines the type of ritzicha that would actually bring about a practical chi of misa? Now, of course, a chi of misa would include where there was hatra'ah, so we would have to make sure it was the kind of case that would be hatra'ah. Chi of misa requires a weapon that is considered to be suitable for killing, so we'd have to make sure of that. A chi of misa requires edim, therefore we'd have to make sure of eder chatei chola hazima, which otherwise are not considered to be eders. A chi of misa requires not only a murder weapon, but it requires a actual wound or an attack on a place that would be considered medically a place where the person would be assumed to die. A chi of misa requires a victim that is the type of victim that you're chayav on, as opposed to someone who maybe it's not a Yisrael. There's no chi of misa on the murder of a non-Yisrael. Maybe he's a treifa. Maybe he's, as we saw yesterday, the question of whether you could be chayiv on someone who is dying, even if he's not a treifa, would be a question about whether that would, we saw yesterday, whether that would apply to someone who was a geisesmin because b'dei shamayim, or he's a geises because he was attacked, and so on. So what we haven't gotten to yet was the element of both. There's two things involved here. One is hatra'ah and hatra'at safek, which we'll discuss in a moment. And the other is whether the actual kivun of the individual is defined as, from the pasuk, a kavana of chiyuv. And since it says in the pasuk, the kamala v'aravlo, that he is lying in wait for him. The question is, what does that mean exactly? And that, too, turns out to be a machlokas. It's going to be another one of the important definitions of what is a ritzicha that's chayev. So, as you can see, there's a lot of factors and a lot of different elements that we've already raised, and we need to look at the rest of them. Nitkaven la'arogat ha-behima, v'aragat ha-adam, lo'oved kochavim, v'aragat Yisrael, v'nefelim, Yarag et ben kayama. Now, suppose there is no kavana on his part. Now, here's the question. This is, turns out to be an actual important machlokas rishonim in the understanding of the entire sugya. The Yad Rama understands that the issue over here is, in fact, a question specifically of kavana, and therefore, we're not dealing with questions of edus or hasra'a. It's just, no matter what we know about the circumstances, if there was no kavana to kill the person that he's killing, that may not be true, as we're going to see. But if there's no kavana to kill the chiv that he's killing, now, that is for sure true. So let's say he was nitkaven la'arog, he was going to kill an animal. There was a guy standing next to him, and accidentally, he didn't aim properly. Instead of shooting the animal, he killed the person standing next to the animal. Or he was going to kill an Ovid Kochavim, and there was a Yisrael standing next to him, V'aragat Yisrael. Or he was going to kill a Nefel, which is a non-viable infant, and instead, Aragat Ben Kayama. In all of these cases, he would be patur. Now, according to Rashi, the reason that he was patur is because of the fact that when we gave him hatra'ah, it's not, we'll have to see how Rashi fits in the sugya later in the Gemara, but it's not because there's an innate problem of needing to have kavana for the specific action like you would have by Shabbos, right? So by Shabbos, we know that that's part of the entire definition of Melechus Shabbos, because it has to be Melechus Machshavos, which we learn out of the Mishkan. But the question is there a component of specific intent when it comes to the din of ritzicha as well? So Rashi understands that the question in the Mishnah is the question of hatra'at safek. Hatra'at safek means that if you're not able to tell him that what you are about to do is definitely going to be this and this issur with this and this consequence, then even if you told him, you know, you might end up killing this Jew standing next to the Yavik Yachavim, or you might end up killing the human standing next to that animal. And the guy says, I know, and I fully intend to accept upon myself the consequences if that's what happens, and I understand that I will be killed. He still would not be killed. Because since the Hatra'ah is not able to point to that action is going to lead you to a death sentence, I don't know. I mean, it may well actually kill the animal, not kill the human. But that's called Hatra'at Safek, and according to the Chachamim, as Rashi understands the sugya, that is the problem. There is no way to give this guy Hatra'ah. As I said, the Yad Ramah understands the problem to be a more fundamental issue in which it's not the Hatra'ah that's the question. The question is this an act of murder? And therefore, even though we'll see later it's a machlokas about how to understand that pasuk of the Kamlo and the Aravlo, but when it comes to the basic intent to murder, that is definitely a necessity in order to be mechayivim according to the Yad Ramah. According to Chachomim, the way Ramat Yarmah is learning. Now, how about if he aimed to shoot him in the leg? And there would not have been a resultant murder from that. And lo hayaba kedei la'amito amotnav. Had it landed on his legs or on his thighs, wouldn't have killed him. However, what happened is he misfired, and instead, the bullet, the arrow, the stone, whatever we're talking about, landed on his heart, and it definitely was sufficient to kill him in that matzav, and the guy dies. You would also be putter, the same reason, according to Rashi, and for the same reason, according to the Yad Ramah. How about if the kavana koto alibo? How about vice versa? How about the kavana was to actually shoot him in the heart, and he definitely would have died in that event? Ayaba kidela mit alibo, but it never landed on his heart. Instead, it landed on his thighs, and it shouldn't have killed him. The lo ayaba kidela mit amatnav. Nonetheless, he died. He's putter because you need two separate things. You need the intent and the hatra'ah for what it is that you're doing, and you need to actually have done something that was sufficient to kill. So these two cases bring out those two dinim. If either one of the above is missing, he would be putter. Now, how about if his kavana was to shoot an adult? V'lo ayaba kedei la'amit agadol. Now, it would not have killed an adult. However, it landed on a child who is, of course, much more delicate, and there was sufficient force in that arrow, bullet, rock, fist, whatever it is, to kill a child, and the child died. He would be putter again for the same reason. There was no kavana to kill, and or it's a hatra'at safek. And therefore, even if he said, I understand that I might kill him, but I'm ready to take that risk, as Rashi understands it, it would still be not chayim. How about nitkaven ha'kot takatan, v'hayaba kedei la'amit takatan? The same situation we had before. He wanted to shoot a child, and it would have killed the child. However, instead, it landed on a nearby adult, and it should not have killed that adult. But for some reason, the adult died, he would be putter. Because, again, you need to have actually done a haka'ah that would have been enough to kill him. Aval nitkaven lahakot al motnav. Vehayaba kadei lahamit al motnav. Now the question is, he wanted to shoot him in the thigh, and it would have killed him. And instead, it landed on his heart and killed him. Then you would be chayav, because you have both of the issues. You had in kavana to kill the guy, and what it is that you did, the arrow that you shot, or the fist that you landed with, would have killed. So you both have delivered a killing blow, And you also had clear-cut kavana and accepted hatra'ah. So we have none of the issues that prevented the chiyav misa before, and therefore he would be chayav. In the case where he wanted to hit a gadol and it would have killed that gadol, and instead it hit a child, and the child died, you're chayav again because you have all of the necessary ingredients. Now, here's where we come to the crux of the issue of how to understand the pasuk of v'kama lav va'aravla. And this is Rabbi Shimon, who disagrees with our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, not so. Even in the event that his kavana was to kill A, and instead he killed B, so he did deliver a killing blow, he meant to deliver a killing blow, and he accepted hatra'ah, and the only thing that was lacking was the specific kavana for this individual. That is a reason for him to be potter. So now the question is, was Rabbi Shimon referring to that last case that we just learned? Did kavein lakot et agadol v'alchala al hakatan? So it was a different person. So that he's chayev. Is that what Rabbi Shimon was referring to? So I ask you, if that was what Rabbi Shimon was referring to, why did Rabbi Shimon restate the case? Why did Rabbi Shimon say, afilun nitkaven laharog etzeh v'harag etzeh patur? He should have just said, patur. Because that was the case that we discussed at the very end of the Mishnah, wasn't it? You wanted to kill an adult, you killed a child. I mean, there was no need to repeat the case. So, ilema asefa, all it should have said is, Rabbi Shimon poter, that's all. It must be that actually Rabbi Shimon was going all the way back to the Reisha. We'll discuss why that would be true. But remember the way that the Mishnah began. Nitkaven la'harog et ha'behima v'harag et ha'adam. Or, nitkaven la'harog lavit kochavim v'harag et Yisrael. Or, nitkaven la'harog nefalim v'harag ben kayama. In all these cases, he's potter. But there is a devastating implication here. Namely, that in the event that the kavana originally would have been to someone that you're chayev, not to a goy, not to a behemoth, not to a nephel, then even though it was a misidentification or a misfire, and you killed the wrong person, you would be chayev. That's what Rabbi Shimon disagrees with. And that's why he speaks out the case. And he says, no, that implication is very misleading. In fact, even if you had in Kavana to kill one Yisrael, one Bar Kayoma, one human, not an animal, and so on, it would be exactly the same thing. You'd still be Pater because it was not the Kavana for the individual that you killed. So therefore, the mashma'ut of the Mishnah's opening is on nitkaven la'harog et zeh v'harag et zeh chayev. Therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, not so. Afilu nitkaven la'harog et zeh v'harag et zeh. Incredibly, you would be potter. Now, the reason that, I mean, is it important that Rabbi Shimon should have done it that way? Wouldn't it have been more efficient if he's waiting till the end of the Mishnah to simply say about that last case, Rabbi Shimon poter, because that would have brought out the whole point, right? The Brash explains that we couldn't do it that way, because had we done it that way, it might have been misunderstood as Rabbi Shimon poter in all those above cases, which would have included the case where he wanted to shoot him in the thigh and ended up shooting him in the heart. Well, that case, Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue with that. So because of that, Rabbi Shimon restates the case, makes it very clear that maybe we weren't intelligent enough to even notice the implication of the Reisha. And essentially, he forces you to understand that what we're really arguing about over here is forget about the difference in type or what set. That's not the issue. The issue is the specific identification of the victim, which is an entirely new idea. Wow. Where in the world would Rabbi Shimon get such a thing from? That we're going to have to find the pasuk. But before we get there, let's zero in on what Rabbi Shimon is saying when he says that you need to have kavana for the victim. What does that mean exactly? Does it mean for the body that you were shooting, what if you thought it was somebody else? Maybe that doesn't matter. You wanted to kill that body, and that's the body that you killed. I don't know. I mean, so let's talk about a couple of cases. You've got Reuven and Shimon standing next to each other. And the guy says, well, I only want to kill Reuven. I don't want to kill Shimon. Okay, that's the classic case in the Mishnah. It ends up, he's not a very good shot, and he kills the wrong guy. Fine. So this is the old Robin Hood and the apple kind of thing. If he's not a good shot, well, tragedy. Okay.
William Tell.
Sorry. I meant William Tell. Gosh. This old age jazz is no fun.
No, Rebbe was talking about Robin Hood, who wasn't such a good shot. That's why nobody knows about those people.
So that's the case. The Tanakhama said about that case specifically, look, you wanted to kill somebody, you're chayev. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you killed the wrong person. But how about if you said, listen, I am bloodthirsty today. I don't give a hang who I kill. Whoever it kills, I'm perfectly happy. Okay, so then if he says, l'chad minayu, I don't care which one, what's the din? Because is the point that he has to have in kavana a particular victim, or is the point that he had to have the act in kavana? But it doesn't really matter. Rabbi Shimon doesn't mean that the identification of the victim is important. Well, let me ask you something else. Suppose the identification of the victim is important, but what does that mean? The identification of the particular entity, the body that he was going to shoot? I want to shoot that body. That's that Mamzer Reuven. Well, it turns out that's his best friend Shimon, but what can you do? It's the same body that he wanted to shoot, right? So what would be the din over there? Is it a function of the identification of the individual? Or is it a function like it would be on Shabbos? This is what it is that you wanted to do physically, and that's what you did. So what would be the case? Inami, Kasova Reuven. And then, as they're preparing the body for burial, it turns out to be Shimon. What would be the din over there? Well, Tashma, it says in the Braita, and this is Rabbi Shimon explaining himself. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ach Yomar Liploni Ani Mitkavein. It has to be, has to identify the human. This is the particular individual I want. If he didn't specify one of the two that are in front of him, he says, I don't care who I kill, I'll kill anybody. Well, he didn't say Liploni Ani Mitkavein, so that's not included. And where he wanted to kill this particular entity, he didn't identify him properly. He didn't say, that body which belongs to Reuven. No, he just said that body. Well, so then that doesn't count. He has to actually identify the person. Now, where in the world would Rabbi Shimon get such a thing from? My time at a Rabbi Shimon. Says Rabbi Shimon, well, we have a very strange pasuk that describes the din of Rechiyev Ritzicha. And that is, the Torah says, V'orav lo v'kamalav. Gosh. So a person, he hates this guy. Person hates someone. V'orav lo. So he lies in wait for him. And then v'kamalav rises up against him. And he kahu nefesh and murders him. That's an awful lot of additional material that shouldn't be in a pasuk. I mean, what do we care about the narrative? I mean, we have to dress the guy necessarily in black, and he's got a cape around his face, and he's opening it up in order to, I mean, like, what the heck? Just say, somebody kills somebody. It's kind of understand. Therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, that is the point. He actually is dressed in his villain's costume, and he's waiting for this guy to come along, and he has specific das varav lo become a love. So he's got to be mitkavein to that individual. That's a pretty nice raya. So what did the Rabbanan say about that? Why would the Torah specify a case in which it's clear that the specific kavana was to a specific person when it seems entirely irrelevant? Amri Devei Rabbi Yanai. This is coming to tell me an amazing halacha, which changes one of the most fundamental concepts in Kol HaTorah Kula. You're kidding. No. The case is this. A guy takes a stone and he throws it into a group of people. And he doesn't have any specific kavana over there at all. And he doesn't need any specific kavana, obviously. That's a given, according to Rabbi Yonah and the Chachamim. Because where will we get a din like that from? We only find that din by Shabbos. So the case over here is coming to tell me that if you throw a stone into a group of people, well, obviously, what's the difference how many people there are? The point over here is that it's a group of people which include both Jews and non-Jews. And he ends up killing a Jew. Now, the question is, would he be chayev if there are non-Jews there? Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. Well, what's the case? I mean, why don't we just look at the rov, right? So, let's imagine we have a case where we have nine goyim and one Jew. So there's one chance out of 10 that this guy is going to kill a Jew. And, well, of course he's potter. That's because you have rov of targets that are not mechayev you. And we know that we go according to the rov when it comes to dinei nefashos here to be mekel because it says v'hitzilu Eda, right? So you have to find any grounds whatsoever to potter him. So in such a case, I don't need a pasuk to tell me if you throw a stone into a group of people that you're potter. Of course you're potter, if the rove of them are non-Jews. So that can't be the case, right? Okay, so then if it's talking about that it's half and half, let's say you've got five Jews and five of the Avodah Zarah. We still would not be mechayev, and without, forget about the pasuk that says, v'kam alav. It just, the reason you're potter is because suffix nefashis lahakel, and if it's half and half, that's a suffix. So how can you kill the guy? V'yitzilu ha'edah, right? So what the heck is the pasuk talking about? This is why I'm telling you, says Rabbi Yonah, this is a mind-boggling chiddush. And the chiddush is this. We're talking about where we've nine Yisrael, one Kuti, and you say, okay, so then we go according to the Rov, which means that for all intents and purposes, this guy was actually threw a stone on a Jew and killed him. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me a case like, I mean, why would the pasuk tell me a case like that is putter? You should be chayev. That's the chiddush. Even so, you are putter. Why? What happened to Rov? And this is the source, all over Shas, says Rabbi Yonah, for an incredibly important point about the dinim of Rov. That Rov does not apply in cases of Kavua. It only applies in cases of emergence, which is an amazing chiddush. So the concept of Rov will never tell you anything about something that is in front of you the way that it is. It is what it is. Rov doesn't change what it is. Rov can only change what statistically will emerge from what is. So therefore, if you have a group of these people, and one person walks out of the group, now, statistically, what's that person? That's what Rov tells you. That person's a goy. But if the person doesn't emerge from the group, the Rov doesn't even start. And therefore, we now know that we have to define Rov in totally different ways. And the amount of, I would say, number of Svarim that have been written just on this question, how to understand the difference between emergent Rov statistics and the definitive Rovs, along with the question of Rov, the Ita Kaman, Rov, the Leta Kaman, predictive Rovs versus Rovs that are telling you assumptive Rovs. This is an amazing sugya. And one of the most fascinating questions is, suppose you have a sveik sveika. Now, one of the ways in which you can understand sveik sveika, which the Achronim do understand that way, is that sveik sveika is a function of rov. Since most of the circumstances, as the sveik sveika will define, would be heter, so therefore, in terms of a sveik sveika, you're allowed to proceed. But what about if the sveik sveika is about something as kavua? If there's no din of rov, would there be a din of sveik sveika? Which leads to the question of how does this din of kavua work? Does it tell us there is no rov? Or does Kavua tell us that there is actually the equivalent of mechza al mechza, which is, means it has nothing to do with the issues of sfeik sfeika, because sfeik sfeika doesn't really have objects that you can define as being mechza al mechza, and so on. I'm just giving you examples of the type of achreinish hetera that people love to spend their time on these theoretical questions about the nature of kavua. Anyway, but that is the chiddush of this pasuk, says Rabbi Yonah. And you're telling me, why does the Torah have to engage in unnecessary narratives and villains from ba-bum? Ah, it's an incredible halacha which may change the nature of the universe and quantum mechanics. God only knows. And you, ye of little faith. Anyway, this is Rabbi Yonah's explanation of the Shita Aliba the Rabbanan. So now, the way the Rabbanan understand things, the pasuk makes a heck of a lot more sense that we just had the sugya in Mishpatim. Listen, remember the psukim over there? What does it say? Two guys are fighting, and they accidentally hit this woman who's pregnant, and she loses her fetus, so then you have to pay, right? Biplilim. Kasher yashita la bala isha, etc., etc. But im asoniye, what about if the woman is killed by accident in the middle of your fight? Then, v'natata nefesh tachat nefesh. Now, wait a minute. You weren't trying to kill the woman. She got in the middle between you and the guy you were trying to murder. And it says, beferish, v'natata nefesh tachat nefesh. Now, how in the world could Rabbi Shimon understand the entire parsha that we just learned about? It's crazy. So let's take a look at that question inside. So, Bishlam al Rabbanan, who say that if you were nitkavin, la rogetze vaharagetze, you're chayiv, great! That is the story in Mishpatim. V'chi natsu anashim, v'nakfu isha hara. And we saw before that obviously we've got to be talking about a fight where these people are fighting to kill. So it's b'matzot shebimita hakatuv mendaber. Otherwise, the whole parsha doesn't make sense. Because then why would you ever, there's no bichlal kavanah to kill at all. Because, says Rabbi Elazar, I mean, look, it says, ima soni yevin atata nefesh tachat nefesh. So if you're going to be killing someone, they are fighting to the death. Okay. Now, it's very clear over there that if there was a murder, it says, ima soni yevin atata nefesh tachat nefesh. Now, you didn't try to kill this woman, and the whole thing was an accident. That's very clear. And if she dies, it says, then you're going to have to kill the murderer, even though he was trying to murder someone else. But according to Rabbi Shimon, how do you make sense of that? According to Rabbi Shimon, he holds that you're not chayev for murder if your intent was to murder someone else. So isn't the pasuk very clearly against Rabbi Shimon? No. Hey, what does all of this tachat stuff mean throughout the story in Mishpatim, huh? Ayin tachat, ayin, chain tachat, chain, etc. It always says tachat. What is that referring to? Cash on the barrel head. That's exactly what it's referring to over here. Nefesh tachat nefesh, according to Rabbi Shimon, is defined as cash on the barrel head, meaning that you pay her value to her heirs. And that's basically the way Rabbi understood the pasuk. Anyway, forget about the whole question over here about the chiyuv of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi explained that Tanya, Rabbi Omer v'natata nefesh tachat nefesh, refers to mammon, and it does not refer to killing anybody, and therefore it's entirely consistent with me, says Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi himself explains, you're going to tell me ata omer mammon, says who? Maybe it means what it says, nefesh tachat nefesh, a life for a life. No. It certainly doesn't mean that. Because look at the pasuk itself, okay? Nemra natina lamala. It starts off with saying that vinatan biflilim, im lo yason, and v'yatsu yiladea. So what's the din? The word vinatan. Vinatan biflilim, he pays in court for the difference in value of a pregnant shifcha versus a non-pregnant shifcha. And then it says, vinatata, in the next pasuk, v'natata nefesh tachat nefesh, ima soni yeh. Well, that's the same v'natan, isn't it? So if the netina in the first pasuk is v'natan b'filulim, which is cash, So then vinatata is the same thing. Vinatata, cash. That's my raya. Afkan mama. Okay, so now we see that we have a machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan about exactly this issue. Do you pay cash or do you pay with your life? Which is dependent in the question of Rebbe Shimon and the Rabbanan, right? Is there a din of kavanah to the specific person, which is called mitkaven? This is a gabi klal. Mitkaven laharog et ze veharag et ze, according to Rebbe Shimon Potter, according to the Chachomim Chayim. Now, the thing is that that's not all that we need to take into consideration.
We also have to drink.
A man whose face does not appear speaks as if a voice from above and doesn't want to be accused of being a Navi Sheker?
I can't appear. Rebbe disabled the video because I was on the phone at the beginning of Shir.
Ah, smart move. Absolutely smart move.
Is William Tell related to Parnaya Tell?
Let me see over here. I can ask you to start the video. Is that the same thing? That's the only option it gives. Okay. Now, that's not the end of the complications here. Because what we have over here is a machlokas about, does he get killed or does he pay? But there's a third approach in which he neither gets killed nor does he pay. Huh? Yes, because remember we have another complication. Kim le bitarabamine does not mean that he has to actually be killed in order to be potter from tashlumi. Because according to the Tana de Chizkiya that we're about to learn, kim le bitarabamine means that if he did something which might have been mechayev him under other circumstances, might have been mechayev him misa, then he's not chayev in tashlumin. So even if he did it b'shogeg beit miskavim, whatever it is, without hasra, in all of those cases, he is not going to be chayev tashlumin, even though he's going to be actually, practically speaking, he's going to be potter from the misa, which means that there's three different shitas: pay, die, or go out scot-free. And we'll see that that scot-free isn't as scot as you'd like it. But on the surface, that's what it says. Omar Rav, the next piece we have over here, which I'm about to tell you, which is the piece of the Tana de Chizkiya, actually is different from both of the previous. It's Mafka Midarabi and it's Mafka Midarabanan. It actually differs from both of them because he says you neither die nor pay. The Tana de Chizkiya. Why does the Torah put together Umakeh Behema Yishalmena? Umakeh Adam Yumat. I mean, like, what's the connection between Makeh Adam and Makeh Behema? What's the din of a Makeh Behema? You're chayev to pay Nezek. What's the din of a Makeh Adam? Well, either you're chayev Misa, which says over here Yumat, or you would be chayev in Tashlumei Nezek, Tzar, Sheves, Ripui, Boshes, right? So now, what is the point of putting those two things together when they have totally different dinim? Aha! That is the point, to teach me that just like a Makeh Behema, there is no, now this is a brilliant hekesh. It's not a hekesh in the din, it's a hekesh in the gen, in the structure, which we've seen, we've spoke about before, according to Rava. And here, there we were talking about Gzera Shava, and the difference between the Gzera Shava that you're going to apply Domina Vukibatra, or you're going to apply Domina and Mina. Fine. But here we have the same kind of structural question. Obviously, we can't compare the Makeh Behema to the Makeh Adam because the din is totally the opposite. So it would be absurd to say it's telling me the same din, but it is telling me the same structure. Namely, just like when it comes to a Makeh Behema, does it make any difference whether you killed this other guy's shor, b'shogeg, or b'mezid, or mitkavein, or eno mitkavein, or whether you were climbing up a ladder and fell on him, or climbing down a ladder? It makes absolutely no difference. Bein derech yirida, lederech aliyah. We mentioned that because that is a highly significant factor, as we're going to see in Makot, when it comes to the Chiyav of Golos. And remember, Sanhedrin Makot essentially is the, it's one continued description of the various issues of different Chiyovim. the Potro Mammon, and there's no way you will ever say that you're potter just because, well, I didn't mean it. Well, I fell. Well, that makes no difference because Adamu Adla Olam. And therefore, what's the bottom line? It's always going to be L'chaivo Mammon. The same thing is true structurally. A Maka Adam, I don't give a hang whether he did it B'shogeg, B'mezid, Mitkaven, or Eino Mitkaven. I don't care if he's going up a ladder or down a ladder. And in all of these cases, you will never be Mechaivo Mammon. You will always be Potro Mammon. So structurally, it's the same. The issues are irrelevant. The bottom line will always remain the same. Bottom line by the Maka Behema is you will pay. Bottom line by the Maka Adam is you will not pay. So what does that teach me? It teaches me what we're going to prove is that Chayve Mitot, doesn't matter whether you were Shogeg or Mezit, Chayve Mitot Shogegit, it's the same din of Kim Lebet Rabamine. That's the point. So let me explain to you why this Tanur Dechizkia is clearly saying the opposite of both Rebbe and the Rabbanan in our sugya, who claim that the choice is either to kill the person who killed that woman accidentally or to have him pay. That would be the question. But here, it can't mean that. Why? Because when it said over here, Bein Mitkaven, Bein Sheino Mitkaven, what is the meaning of that Mitkaven? Does it mean there was no kavanah at all? I mean, that's a shogeg. Guy fell off of a ladder and so on. What would be the difference? Bein shogeg, bein mezid, bein mitkaven, l'sheino mitkaven. It's the same exact case. The only brilliant thing that this means, is that it's referring to our case of mitkaven. Mitkaven l'zeh and horaget zeh. Okay, now what does it say? Bein mitkaven l'zeh or not mitkaven l'zeh, it's clear that you cannot be Mechaivo Mammon, you are only going to be Potro Mammon. Now, I mean, if you would be telling me that he's a Baktalan, we're talking about a case where somehow he would be Chayim, right? Because he was Mitkaven Lizeh. So then obviously I don't need this Brisa to tell me the din of Kimla Bin Rabamine. We have Sukkim that we darshan again and again about Kimla Bin Rabamine. And therefore, what's it coming to tell me over here? The Brita clearly holds. You're not Chayav Misa. Okay, so then that's against Rabbi Shimon. But it's also telling me you will not be Chayav Mammon. That's against the Rabbana. So that means that he holds of neither of these possibilities, which of course leaves us up in the air. So how does he understand Venatata Nefesh Tachat Nefesh? Okay, this is a big discussion among the Rishonim, including Tosfos over here. What does he understand Nefesh Tachas Nefesh is referring to? What specific cases? But meanwhile, we are prepared under the great leadership of our staunch, intrepid, immovable, powerful, understanding, vastly perspicuous Capitan, who may be fast asleep under certain circumstances. However, it's understandable.
In this circumstance as well, I'm afraid.
Richie, you're going to start missing your cues if you keep this up.
I tell you. What are you going to do? Advancing.
Richie, we're giving you a chance for another 80 years, you idiot. Keep working. No. Let's try that again.
Okay.
Okay.
Zog the Halak Mishnah. Wait, are we?
Does anyone have any oil?
Hold on, I'm what do you call it? Zoom. Yeah. Why can't I get to the? Oh my goodness gracious! We know it's a Mishnah. It's not.
Help. All right. There we go. The life support kicked in. Okay, we're okay. Okay, now we're talking about, and it's not clear exactly who these others are, but we'll soon look at that in the Gemara. So a murderer, we know we had this murderer here. We paskin on him that he's chayav misa, and then he ran away before we had a chance to get his fingerprints, and now we can't identify him in the crowd of people that he's run away into. Well, he can't kill anybody, and therefore kulam peturin. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, well, maybe you can't kill him, but you can sure make him die. So konsim otam lekipah, you put them into this closed cell, and we feed them, as we see elsewhere, we feed them the type of things that are going to cause their stomachs to burst. Richie, we have personal experience with this. You feed them, you feed them barley, right? And then their stomachs burst. Oh, God help us.
Uncooked barley, yeah.
All right. So we spent a nice Shabbos in a hospital because of this story. Anyway, so we're going to obviously have to decide who these other people are if we're ready to knock them off like that. Kol chayavei mitot shedetavu zebezen. And where you have people that are chayav misa. And there's different chayuvim. Maybe you've got one guy that's chayav skila, and three guys that are chayav henek, and another two that are chayav sreifa, and so on and so forth. So what do you do? Well, we know that they're all chayav misa. You know, therefore, we do kill them, but we kill them only with the most chal misa, because you don't have a right to subject somebody to a misa that is more chomer than his chayav. So therefore, in a case where, and of course, this would be dependent on the machlokas we had way back at the beginning of Perek Arba Misas, right? So if you have people that were chayav skila, and they got mixed up with people chayav sreifa. So according to Rabbi Shimon, remember, the skila is less chomer than the sreifa, according to him, because he argued on that opening Mishnah's or order. And according to me, we would give them all skila because you can't give them sreifa, because sreifa is more chamur. So you don't have a right to give somebody a greater chiyav. The chachamim, the shitatam say, no, actually, you did them bisreifa, because the skila is more chamur than the sreifa. Amalim Rabbi Shimon, in the world could you guys possibly believe that sreifa is not more chomer? For heaven's sake. Now remember, we had this machlokas before. If we have the case of a bat kohen ki techel is not that avia hi michalelet, and what's the din be'esh tisareif? Now what would be the same din? Does it tell you whether she was completely married, whether she was an arusa? No. So apparently, in all cases, even of a nara ha-me'urasa, what would be the din if she's a bat kohen? Sreifa. And what would be the din if she's not a bat kohen? Skila. Because that's the normal din of a nara ha-me'urasa. So you're telling me that if she's a kohenet, we treat her more leniently. Does that make sense? You give me all the reasons to be machmer. Et avia imichalela, it's a horrible thing. Therefore, let's go easy on her. Does that make sense? So obviously, sreifa is more chomer. On the contrary, if skila wasn't more chomer, why would that be the way we would treat a megade for an oved avodas kochavim? I mean, those are like the most horrible things to do, and they are all kofrim beikar. So you're telling me we're going to go easy on them? On the contrary, we're going to be machmer on them. And of course, the rabbanan hold that bat kohen ki techel is not. Is not an application to the case of the Nara Murasa, like we saw before. Then we have the next two cases, which is the Neheragim, which is Sayef, Benechen Hakim. Here too, we know already that there's the Machlokas from back in that same Mishnah of Arba Misas into the Bezdin, and they are Rabbi Shimon holds that Sayef is more Kal, and the Chachamim say Chenek is the least Chomer of all the Misas. Now, you say that the Rotseach got mixed up with others. What type of others? Who are these others? You're talking about regular people? You just ran into a crowd of people? So we're going to take these people, we're going to all put them, feed them Richie's barley soup, and have them all explode? That's ridiculous. And did you have a Havamina that we should maybe kill everybody because, well, they got mixed up with the murderer? Come on, man. So you can't be talking about innocent bystanders. Of course we're not going to kill them. And would it make sense that Reb Yehuda would say that we'll feed them that kind of cholent? Reb Yehuda would say, Konsinota le kippa? That is absolutely berserk, which is the simon, as you see. The simon is berserk. So therefore, that cannot be the pshat. Omar Rebbe Abo, Omar Shmuel. Actually, we're talking about, of course, we're talking about everyone here that was Chayev Mises. We got a yard full of these people. They're all murderers. So there it's a rotzeach. However, that we didn't say those closing words. Mr. Plony, you are Chayev Misa, right? So we never were Nigmar Dino, which is a formality, but the guy runs away before we could do the formality. Now, okay, so what's the big deal? So take the audience and say, all right, you bum, whoever you are, wherever you are finito. You are Chayev. Ha ha, you cannot do that, you see. Why not? Because there are bun and hold, ein gomrin dino shel adam, Ella Bifanav. It says Beferish in the Pasuk that he has to be Ad Amdo Lifnei Ha'eda Lemishpat. Now, is he being Eimed Lifnei Ha'eda? No, I don't even know who he is. So, therefore, there would be no way to announce that Gmar Din if they don't know who he is. So, we're stuck. That's why the Rabbanan say, you cannot kill him. Hilka Kulam Piturin. Reb Yehuda, he holds, look, I understand that you cannot actively execute him, but you could always fill him up with Richie's cholent. I have to admit, it wasn't Richie's cholent, it was my cooking.
Rabbi soup. I was going to say, I was waiting to say that, you know.
I, no, no, I would, yeah. You know, I would never do that. Never a word to the wise. Never taste too much uncooked cholent. Okay, anyway. So therefore, we can't let the guy get away with murder. This is where that comes from, getting away with murder. And therefore, Ilka Kotsinoto Likipa. So we do feed him that deadly cholent. Actually, it's a little bit more complex than that. We first wait until his stomach shrinks, and then we feed him the cholent, and then it explodes. So, okay, fine. Yoka Kontzin Oto Lekipa. Now, this halacha is a specific din, not in Chayve Mises. It's another one of these beautiful places where the Rambam uses a halacha to bring out a concept that is so classic Rambam, that I hope you'll be baruch me if I actually read it directly from Hilchas Ritzeach Shmiras Nafesh, because it's an amazing thing. So he talks about this din of Kotsinoto Lekipa, and he says, Kotsinoto Lekipa, machilim otom lechem tsaru mayim lachatz, until their stomach shrinks, atcha yitzru me'ehem, and then we give him a nice barley cholent, now, he has a special halacha that follows this. The ein osim davar The only time we do this is not because we're trying to be Mekayim, a chiyav misa, and we take this crazy way of killing a person. That's not the point. Either im nitchayev mita, you kill him properly with the din in best, and maybe tinoto, and if there's no way to be Mekayim and misa, you send him home. Look, there are worse things in the world than Shvichas Damim, right? So there's Avonot, like Avodah Zarah, Yesh Avonot Chamurim Mishvichut Damim. But that's not the point. The Konsimoto Lekipa, it's not because of the Ovein, it's because of the destruction of society. There's nothing that has Hashchatat Yishuvo Shel Olam Kishvichut Damim. Afilo Avodah Zarah is not Hashchat Olam like murder is. And for sure, things like Arayas or Chilul Shabbos, that's nothing like Shvichut Damim. But Elu, All of those are avonot that are between a human being and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Nadal Mamokim B'Tzvichas Tomim is the most awful thing that you can do. Benola Ben Chaveiro. V'chol mi sheyesh biyado avon zeh, harei hu rasha gamur, ve'in kol ha-mitzvot she'asa kol yamav, shkulim keneged avon zeh, v'lo yatzilu min adin. And you can learn this from the case of Achav. Here's Achav. He's Oved Avodah Zorah, and he's incredible. Lo ayaka Achav, that was worshiping Avodah Zorah. But when it came to his din in the Shamayim, this is the one case where we actually do know what was going on in the Shamayim, because instead of the women at the Beis HaOvel blabbing about what happens in the Shamayim, which the Rambam makes fun of, everybody knows exactly what's going on in the Shamayim, right? Oh, it's grandma's soul that is now greeting the cut the bull. Anyway, but there is a place where we do know what went on in the Shamayim. And that was the whole story in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, who will go out to get Achav destroyed? And what happened? In the end, it was Rucho Shel Navot that went out. And so we see, says the Rambam, that that was of everything that he did, that when Kishinistadru Avonotav, Zechuyotav, Lifnei Elohei Aruchot, Lo nimtza avon shechivo kiliya, v'lo haya sham davar acher sheshakul kenegdo. Ela de main avot, shenema vatetse a ruach vatamod lifne Hashem, ze ruach navot, venem arlo, go ahead and be mifate vegam tuchal. Arehu arasha, he didn't even kill Biado, he just made it happen. He was the king, he made it happen that they ended up killing Navot. And that was the worst thing that he ever did in his life in terms of the definition of his din. Astan, wow, we. What to take a story like that in Tanakh and to turn it into like a din that this is halacha only in terms of Ritzicha and so on and so forth. Such a classic, beautiful. What is this teaching us? Reish Lakish Omer? The Adam, if we're talking about a person that you did not say Chayavata, so it was before the Gemar Din, nobody would hold that you're Chayav. And in this case, if you're telling me there are people there that there was never a chiyav that was announced, that's crazy. It says beferish v'yitzilu ha'eda. You can't kill someone based on that. Yitzilu ha'eda means you have to let him go. It means you actually try to avoid killing him. The whole discussion over here, says Reish Lakish, between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is in reference to a shor. That's what it's referring to. So you have a shor, shalonig mardino, and that shor gets mixed up in a yard full of shvarim that were already pronounced in the bezdin of Esrim v'shlosha, which any self-respecting shor of a ben brit, of course, was in a full Sanhedrin katana, and they're sitting over there, and it was after the gemar din. And therefore, the rabbanans say, well, you got to let him go because you cannot paskin on him. All right, we know you're in there somewhere, you rotten shore. Just because we can't identify you because we forgot to take your hoof prints doesn't mean that we won't say that we're going to kill you. No, you can't do that. Because remember, we have the hekesh of ashor yisakel v'gamba lav yumat, which tells us you have to treat the shore with the same rules that you teach that you treat the master with, right? So Rabbanan Savri Kimitata Balim Kach Mitata Shor. And since you can't be Gomer the din of the Balim unless he's standing there in front of Lifnei Ha'ida, so Ein Gomrim Dino Shor Shor Ela B'fanav. You have to be able to talk to that Shor as he sits in the defendant box. And therefore, all of them are Potter, because you can't kill the one that is Potter just because the others are Chayim. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, put the shor into jail and feed him that cholent. So Rabbi Yehuda Savakot Simotam Lakipa. Beautiful.